Football is finally back. My friends at Scana Energy can help you save when you fire up the grill for game day. Right now, receive up to $100 when you sign up for the 36-month fixed rate. Call now 1-877-GO-SCANA or visit scanaenergy.com/100. Additional terms and conditions may apply.
And now, it's time for FinCast.
Boom, shakalaka.
Wide receiver and fan favorite Brian Finneran is talking Dirty Bird football. Powered by Scana Energy, the official natural gas partner of the Atlanta Falcons.
Looking for Finneran, who leaps into the air, a touchdown.
FinCast starts now.
All right, it's the beginning of the week, and it can't get worse this week than it was this weekend because, wow, we are still waiting for the first Falcons game of the season. You are tuned in to FinCast alongside the great Brian Finneran, BFin86. I'm Tyler Nelson, and we are on FinCast brought to you by Scana Energy. So, like I just said, Finn, that was freaking god-awful.
It was horrific, and there's a lot of different reasons. The Falcons lost that game to the Philadelphia Eagles. And I think it starts at the line of scrimmages. But we knew we were going to have some issues this season.
But that was another level.
We didn't know how bad because we didn't see any preseason action. You got a center that's played two full games, now three, in Matt Hennessy in his NFL career. You got a left guard in Jalen Mayfield that got thrown into the mix and abused. And you played against a really good defensive front four against the Philadelphia Eagles. And it just didn't turn out well. And then you had so many penalties.
Was that two illegal? And I was at the game, so I'm not watching it with the granular up close vision of on TV. Was that two illegal motions in a row?
No, I think an illegal formation and maybe
illegal formation. Yeah. That's right. Yeah,
and then maybe had somebody false start, but the illegal formation I think takes
precedence.
There
were
precedent.
Two in a row.
In the red zone.
Yeah, in the red zone.
Once you start going backwards in the red zone, you're screwed. But anywhere on the field, for that matter.
Yeah.
And Matt Ryan and Arthur Smith talked about it after the game. They talked about the penalties, 12 for 99 yards, but it doesn't justify how many yards it cost you because you had two offensive pass interference plays. We got dumbasses doing silly things on the field, and I apologize for calling them names, but...
Hey, just call a spade a spade. If you're Hayden, a dumbass, you're a dumbass.
I know. In the moment, they were that. They weren't smart football players, and it was Hayden Hurst and Calvin Ridley, unfortunately, made decisions in-game, in moments, that cost their team big yardages and big chunks of yardage. And you don't add those. I mean, it's a 15-yard penalty, but you don't count the 30 yards you would have got on the play. So you're talking about 150, 200 yards in actual yardage on the field. That's part of the reason, by the way, after the first two drives, you go 15 plays, you go 14 plays, you get all the way down the field inside the red zone, and you kick a 21-yard field goal, which is awful because it's so close, and you kick a 27-yard field goal. After that, you don't cross the opponent's 50-yard line the rest of the game.
Oh,
I read that today. It was just...
I'd miss that. And that's
right.
I mean, at halftime, I lived at halftime. So I was listening to it on the radio, and then I got home and watched the rest of it on TV, and it was just like... It was just heartbreaking to see...
It really was. It ruins my Sundays.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, what the bleep is going on? Just help me enjoy my weekend, because it was really good. Georgia Tech had won. Georgia took care of business. Villanova took care of business.
I was tracking that Villanova game real closely.
Don't you dare. And then the Falcons come along at 1 o'clock on Sunday, and it turns into a nightmare. And that's the offensive side of the ball. The defensive side of the ball, another stat I ran into today.
Do the Domino.
The Philadelphia Eagles against our defense averaged a league high. That's 32 teams, so they were number one in this statistic. 3.39 yards rushing before they were touched. 3.39 yards rushing before contact was made with a defender. So think about being an Eagles running back, and you're across the line, you get the ball, and nobody touches you for almost 4 yards. It's impossible to win games like that, and people want to shit all over the offense, and they hurt themselves more than anything because the first two drives looked awesome.
Yeah,
Arthur Smith was in business. Play calling was there.
The running was working. Everything.
You had 86 yards rushing with 4 minutes gone in the second quarter.
Yeah.
You were looking great. And then you started getting penalties. And then you got more penalties. And you had to punt. And it just got worse. The defense, in my opinion, was worse than the offense because you looked so bad. You didn't do what you're supposed to do. You were soft. You're undisciplined. You got run over. You didn't set the edge on defense. You didn't contain an athletic quarterback in Jalen Hurts. and you certainly did not pressure him as well. So,
and even just the pressures that they would come when they were, he just had one step right and they would fly right by him.
Right.
They didn't break down and tackle. It was the thing that I could not get away from that made me actually leave the game was I thought, I have a pasta strainer that is a better like at holding things in than this offensive line. Like it was a sieve. Matt didn't have a blink of an eye to throw the ball.
No,
so
it was super frustrating, not only for us, but think about being the quarterback.
Oh.
We had a receiver coach, Terry Rubisky, one time.
Mm-hmm.
We had a fine in our meeting room, in the receiver meeting room. If you had bad body language in a game or on the practice field and it got caught on film, you got fined, could be 10, 20, 50 bucks, depending on what it was about. So let's say I'm running a post route and I feel like I'm wide open and the quarterback doesn't throw it to me.
And
I throw my arms
right,
up in the air or throw my head back or drop my head. That's a $10, $15 fine in our meeting room.
I like that.
So, and you just see the guys around them. And you know, it's so hard. It's so hard to be
there.
A quarterback in the NFL, okay? You have to count on everybody around you doing the right thing, including the receivers being in their spots, tight ends moving, running backs picking up blitzes, and, of course, your offensive line blocking. Now, if they can't do that, you got a world of hurt coming at you. He was pressured more than anybody in the league on Sunday, and all that was based off of the guys in front of him not doing their job. So I was thinking to myself, we want to blame it all on Matt Ryan, but it's the offensive line.
I don't blame it on Matt
front.
At all.
I know you don't.
Yeah.
But a lot of people will. It's like if we had a mobile quarterback,
right.
He would be able to get out of that stuff and make some things happen with his legs. I'm just like, if we protect him, you know, you're in that ball game and you score touchdowns. So it all goes hand in hand. The offensive line has to be better, and I think they will. I have no idea if Jalen Mayfield, who was terrible,
will be
back at the left guard spot or not. Arthur Smith said after the game that he trusts the process and trusts him being in there. So we'll see if that's a fact or not, and we'll see if they pick up anybody throughout the course of the week.
Oh, well, you know, as John Kincaid said on FinCast last week, you know, Matt Ryan has the ability to put a team on his shoulders and win a game by himself. He didn't have the ability or opportunity to.
That's right.
This week, and that was the, you know, when one thing follows the other. It's if the offensive click and the defense stays off the field, and if the defense stays off the field, they have a little more energy, better legs, and we just did not do that.
It wasn't like time of possession was like 30 and a half to 28 or something like that. So it was pretty close. The number of plays were almost equal. So it's not like we left the defense out there all game long.
It just felt like it was all one team. You know, it could have been 10-6, and
right.
It still would have felt the same way it felt watching this. But
another stat from my friends on Twitter, Andrew Hirsch. He said, per Pro Football Focus review, concluded that Matt Ryan was responsible for zero hits or sacks or hurries or pressures that he faced.
Bingo.
And the Falcons had the league's worst pass blocking efficiency yesterday, and Jalen Mayfield had like a 1.4 percentage out of 100, dude. So just frustrating first start. You hate to see it right out the gate because things look so good after the first two drives. And now where you got in trouble big time is when you can't score touchdowns in the red zone. And again, you get down there. I think Matt Ryan had a play to Russell Gage where Russell may have been in the wrong spot or Matt came to him late, couldn't get it to him or whatever. And then the next time down, you have a penalty and you back up. And you
so this was right as I was walking into the stadium in that first drive, and because 68 The Fan had our tailgate down there, and so I was helping wrap that up and still trying to rush to get in the stadium on time. And so I'm walking in, and I saw kind of one screen through the outside of the stadium, and I was like, oh, we're in like inside the 10 or we're in the red zone. And then as I'm walking in, I hear the buzzer go. And I'm like, cool, touchdown. Nope. Three
field
points.
Goal. Can't win games like
Can't
that.
Games.
I love Younghoe Koo. He's been awesome since Matt Bryan left.
But we don't want him to be the number one scorer in the league.
Last thing you want, that's right. The last thing you want is him making a bunch of field goals. Unless they're 50, 45, 42, 35, you know, 50-yarders.
Yeah, the
once you get inside that 15-yard
clutch
line,
field goals are okay.
You have to score
touchdowns. Well, give me a bright spot. I mean, I know what mine is, but if there's one positive takeaway, I saw one thing that I thought, and I would like to know what yours is.
Oh, I thought Cordell Patterson
ran
the ball super
hard.
Exactly
what I was going to say.
That dude, I think he averaged 6 yards a touch, maybe seven.
It was actually north of seven, I think.
7.4 maybe. He was a big, pleasant surprise. He
yes.
hit the hole hard. He got downhill. He ran with his pads down. Mike Davis kind of did the
Mike
same
Davis
thing.
Mike Davis did a good job, too.
But when he got behind 22-6 in the third quarter, then it became an issue because now you got to throw the football
can't
over the field.
The ball
you
as
can't
much.
Run the ball.
But yeah, so overall, to even take it broader than just Cordell Patterson, who I agree that was my one bright spot takeaway was
it's classic. We didn't even talk about it.
We didn't. Yes,
nice.
For all you dear listeners, we did not talk about that ahead of time. But that the running game in general, and you know, to the negative, if there is, well, there's plenty of negative. But I think it was a little conservative to come out of the gate so run heavy. But at the same time, it was nice to see the Falcons running the ball that much, too.
Yeah, I mean, you got down the field in 14 and 15 plays.
Exactly.
15-play drives are hard to come by in the NFL, and you had two of them on their first two possessions. And a lot of that is because the run game was effective, and you didn't have all the penalties. As soon as those first two drives were over, you had a penalty on thing on every single drive except the fourth drive of the game.
Ooh.
And at that point, I think he had a fourth and seven, and he had to punt it away. You didn't get the third and seven. So you just can't win when you back yourself up and have 12 penalties for 99 yards, and you're behind the sticks constantly. Which means if it's first and 10 and you get 3 yards, now it's second and seven, and then you have a false start, now it's second and 12. That's what it means being behind the sticks. When you got more than 10 yards to go, early in the down, or you have like a third and three and you get a penalty for 5 yards, now it's third and eight. Third and eight's a lot harder to get than it is in third and three. I don't care who you are, who your quarterback is. Arthur Smith calling plays made it hard on him. And then throw in the fact that you couldn't protect Matt and the run game went away. It was a disaster.
Yeah, third and eight or third and 12 is a lot harder, even more so when you don't have but half a second to throw the damn ball.
Yep. So 32-6, loser. Not what you wanted to see out the gate. Kyle Pitts was fine. I think he's got a lot to learn as a as a rookie tight end / giant receiver, because he had a couple of nice blocks, but he wasn't barely on the line of scrimmage very much. He had a play early in the game that drove me crazy. My son Keenan texted me and said, "Did you see Kyle Pitts not get 2 feet down when he had like 3 yards to do it?" Kyle Pitts had a catch. Matt Ryan was about 5 for 5. Mm-hmm. It was a quick out, and he's sprinting towards the sideline, and he catches the football. Left foot hits the ground, and then right foot just goes out of bounds, and he had plenty of room to drag his foot, to drag it and fall down. But sometimes when it's not as important to certain people, and I don't know this for sure yet, every single yard in the NFL matters so much.
Yeah.
That's why they struggled so much, because it kept going backwards. If you don't respect that or understand that it's a huge part of this football game, that 4 yards on first down is huge, 5, 6, 7 yards, what you were going to get is humongous. If you don't have the wherewithal or the know-how or the willingness to stop, put your foot in the ground, drag a toe, dive, lay out, whatever it is, it's going to be a long season.
Do you think that's probably just doing part of the fact he just came out of college where it's a one-foot thing?
Yes, but you're in the NFL. There's no excuse for it. But, yeah, I think that's part of it. But you have to
Let's
do
hope
it.
It's not a willingness thing.
No. Okay. I'm assuming that it's not. But I think he's so fast, and he was running so fast out of bounds. He just – maybe the college thing kicked back in, but he got 1 foot in. Mm-hmm. Now Matt Ryan has an incomplete pass, his first of the game. Now, instead of being second and four, second and three, it's second and 10 because you don't want to dive and drag your foot. You don't have to dive. You caught the ball. Your left foot hit. You had plenty of time to put your right foot down, and you stepped on the white chalk out of bounds. It really – those are the type of things that drive me crazy.
Well, a game of inches, right?
Yeah,
no doubt. And every little thing can swing a game or momentum, and I think it was just the collection or what's the phrase I'm looking for, just a piling together of all those things. Mm-hmm. Every single thing went wrong. Just looked like an untrained football team on Sunday. But all right, well, let's get a positive, and we'll get to Tampa Bay coming up this weekend. But let's break it up with a positive of Finn's Ring of Honor.
This is the one ring.
Finn's Ring of Honor.
My restless.
Okay, Finn, who we got this week?
All right, this week.
We're out of receivers now, right?
Well, for the most part. I think it's somebody else who'll put another receiver in there. So I got all my receiver buddies out there. So far, the Ring of Honor has been Ronnie Harris, the unsung hero for me. He kind of brought me into this league. Roddy White, Michael Jenkins, Eric Weems, Harry Douglas, and Terrence Mathis. So this time we're going quarterbacks, and Matt Ryan will be this week's Finn's Falcon.
Who?
Ring of Honor. Matthew
Thomas Ryan.
He has been a great teammate, a great friend. I only got to play 3 years with Matt. I wish I got more with him, and I wish I was younger when I played with him, because I had to deal with guys like Harry and Jink and Roddy, who are most of the time ahead of me. But Matt was so strong and so willing to learn and study, and threw a great ball. His command of the huddle was unbelievable as a rookie coming in from Boston College. It was fun to to kind of play through three different decades, starting in 99 here in Atlanta and finishing up in 2010, to see all the different characters. We'll get to Chris Chandler and Michael Vick and all the other guys I played with.
Yeah.
But Matt Ryan, a special, special player, the best quarterback in Falcons history, should have a Super Bowl ring on his finger.
Could've
every time
too.
He walks out of the house. Unfortunately, that didn't happen. But we should be lucky to have him, and it'll be awesome moving forward the next couple of years.
Well, and, growing up in Atlanta, and I'm 33, so obviously a big chunk of my childhood fandom was your career, but it was Chris Chandler, Michael Vick, and then Matt Ryan, and most of my adult all my adulthood has been Matt Ryan. And I mean, just a you cannot ask for better. You cannot ask for better in a franchise quarterback. Let me ask you this: he a Hall of Famer?
Yes, maybe not first ballot, but he's going to be in the Hall of Fame.
Good, I agree. I mean, his numbers. He's a
it's awesome
career 65.5% completion percentage, 55 to almost 56,000 yards, 347 touchdowns.
The durability,
and there's no stat for that. Well, there is obviously game started, but like that's so overlooked by so much. Like he's missed like what three games in a 12-year career? Like it's just remarkable. And an overall QB rating, by the way, of 94.4%. So that's just incredible. Matthew Thomas Ryan, not enough you can say about him.
That's right,
and a great guy on top of it. So, all right. Well, segueing out of last week's abomination of a game, and hopefully, though not much optimism on my end, going up against the Super Bowl reigning champ.
Yeah, real quick, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We'll get a couple minutes on them. Tampa Bay Buccaneers did what they needed to do in the first game against, and had a comeback win against the Dallas Cowboys.
And how Brady-esque, just to like to get the ball back with like 30 seconds or something and march down the field and get a field goal, unreal.
Going to be a tough matchup against that defensive front. We really struggled against the Philadelphia Eagles. Now you got to go face Ndamukong Suh, Jason Pierre-Paul, Vita Vea. It could be another long day for Falcons, so we don't need to dive too much into it or get in too many details. You just hope they look better, look more clean, get back to the run game, protect Matt Ryan a little bit, and the defense has to step up and help us out because they just got run through.
Do you think we see Jalen Mayfield back at the left guard?
I don't know whether maybe Drew Dahlman steps in. You know what? I don't know that we do. I don't know if you can afford it because Matt Ryan's going to get killed if you continue to throw him out there.
Yeah, I agree. But especially, like you said, Vita Vea, Ndamukong Suh, Jace Pierre-Paul, Levante David on the linebacking. I mean, exactly. And then that's not even on the offensive side of the ball. I mean, they've got probably the best offensive core on tight end Gronk, O.J. Howard, then Brady, which goes without saying. Leonard Fournette, who's their other running back, is escaping me at the moment. Antonio Brown, Mike Evans, and Chris Godwin in the wide receivers.
Yeah. Like, it's a lot to deal with.
Going against our questionable at very, very best
Dean
secondary.
Pease has had some success against Tom Brady in the past when he was up in New England, but... Mm-hmm. This is not the same team he's playing with defensively.
Yeah,
he's going to have to dial up a gym.
A shorter deck of cards. All right, well, what do you think happens?
Unfortunately, I think we lose again. And I just hope it's not as ugly.
I agree. And as long as it's not an ugly, like, screaming at the TV. I mean, I can accept the greatest quarterback of all time with an incredible receiving core beating us.
Don't ruin my Sunday again.
Exactly. At least just look better. All right, well, find Finn on all social media platforms at bfinn86, and we'll catch you next week. Hopefully, Finn, like I said, we have a better weekend. But until then, go Falcons, and we'll see you next week on FinnCast.
Peace.
Powered by Scana Energy, the official natural gas provider of the Atlanta Falcons. FinnCast is hosted by Brian Finneran, co-hosted and produced by Tyler Nelson. Intro and outro music by Atlanta band Gringo Star with their song, I Will Not Follow. Feel free to reach out about the podcast to tyler@680thefan.com. FinnCast is hosted on thepodcastpark.com by 680 The Fan and can be heard wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you next week on FinnCast.
This morning in North Carolina, wheels are spinning. Determination is winning. A passion is now a thriving business, and it shows no signs of slowing down. How? The power of a conversation. Like the one Clint Spiegel had with First Horizon Bank about starting a bike wheel manufacturing facility in Asheville. Now it's not just talk, it's rubber meets road. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Clint. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
So, Robert, I want to thank you for your time. I just don't think you're the right person for this position.
I don't understand. Was it something I said?
Well, we did a background check on you and found some things of concern.
If you're in charge of hiring for your company, you know how helpful a background screening can be. That's why companies that use Horizon Background Screening make smarter hiring decisions. Don't let the wrong hire put your company at risk. Get the real story on your candidates at horizonscreening.com. Horizonscreening.com.